Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back again with another episode of the College Audition Podcast. I'm here today with my special guest, Tara Snyder, Associate Professor of Musical Theater Voice at the University of Central Florida, UCF. Thanks so much for joining us today, Tara.
So glad to be here, Tim.
So we always like to get to know the person before the program. So I would like to start by asking you a little bit about your training and career that led you up to your time at UCF.
Absolutely. I think I'm one of those, you say, next generation folks who has always had a concurrent professional career with their educational career. So I have done regional theater workshops, some off-Broadway things concurrently while I have been an educator. So I've taught at a couple other institutions prior to UCF in musical theater programs or voice programs. So I have always had my hand in both worlds. So that's the really short version.
Are you originally from Central Florida?
I'm not. I'm originally from the Southwest Ohio area.
Oh, wow. Great. Now, if we chat a little bit about the program, before we get into the nitty-gritty, I first want to point out that UCF actually offers more than just the BFA Musical Theater program, which is normally the schools that we're talking to just has that BFA. So could you tell us what other theater degrees and musical theater degrees that UCF actually offers?
Absolutely. So we, as you mentioned, Tim, we have the BFA in musical theater. We also have a BFA in acting, a BFA in design and technology, a BFA in stage management, and then rounding out our undergraduate degrees in the theater area, we have a BA in theater studies, which is a more generalized overview degree that actually you have to have either a dual major with or a minor with it too. We also have a theater minor and a dance minor. I believe that hits all of the highlights of our undergraduate degrees. And then our graduate degrees include an MA in musical theater, an MFA, which is the terminal degree in acting, and an MFA in theater for young audiences, as well as an MA in theater studies.
Great. And you work with the musical theater students exclusively?
Pretty much most of the time, yes. Rarely, once in a blue moon, I get to work with some of the actors in a class, but my schedule is so full with the musical theater majors that I spend most of my time with them, primarily the undergraduates, but I also do teach in the MA musical theater program too.
Great. So are you teaching exclusively private voice lessons, or do you also teach classes?
Well, this kind of gets into a little bit of how our program is structured, but I do teach our applied voice studio as well as the class setting of some of our voice classes. So we have our first year musical theater majors. They take a class in the fall called ESTL for musical theater craft, and then in the spring, ESTL for musical theater artistry. And so I usually teach both of those. So I do spend some time in the classroom. Once in a great while, I get to teach an auditioning class. And then with our graduate students, I'm teaching a voice, more pedagogy type course.
Wonderful. All right, so let's talk now into the program. And it's a pretty expansive program. So we've got lots to talk about here. But we're going to, for the purpose of today, concentrate on the BFA Musical Theater Program. And the first question I always ask our guests is, to give us your elevator speech, your elevator pitch, 60 seconds or less, but I don't really time you. Tell us about the BFA Musical Theater Program at UCF and why people should be interested.
Absolutely. Our BFA Musical Theater Program is conservatory style training within a liberal arts environment. So you are getting intensive training in the three areas of musical theater, voice, dance, and acting. But you are also getting more expansive training in theater as an art form and a business as a whole. And we really are working to help you develop as a performer and a professional in however that degree is going to take you into your future, whether it will be a professional performer or whether it will manifest some other way, an educator, a creative team member, however you decide to use that degree. And I think one of the things that really sets us apart is the the family dynamic that we have with our students. We know all of them, they know us. And sometimes you get tough love in a family, but you always get support and you get a fantastic network of alums who are out in all the major cities doing all of the things after you leave. And it's a great way to bridge that gap from your education into your profession.
Mm-hmm. Very well done. And I think that was less than 60 seconds too. let's go through now and talk a little bit more specifically. So let's say you have been accepted as a freshman incoming student. What does that track look like from the day they set foot on that campus?
Great. So their journey actually starts, I'd say, even before they set foot on the campus. One of the things that we have in place is a mentoring program with our upperclassmen to our new students. So before they ever get to campus, they'll get a contact from their big brother or their big sister in the program who's going to reach out to them and say, how can I help you? What do you need to know before you get here? What are, you know, the things you're concerned about? So, because I've been there and I can help you. And usually our upperclassmen, our juniors, the ones who are assigned as mentors, they'll reach out to the new students in the summer before they ever get to campus. So that journey starts ahead of time with starting that family. But once they get to campus, we usually will do auditions the week before school starts for the fall season. This fall, it was a little bit of a hybrid where they submitted videos ahead of time and then we did in-person callbacks, you know, still coming out of pandemic conditions. So that's usually the week before school starts. But then once classes start, they are bright and early into their music theory class, usually at 8 a.m. They also have a piano class, theater survey, which is an overview course of both the department and the field in general. And then they will also have ballet, and they have the voice class that I mentioned earlier with me, the Estel for Craft, and script analysis, I believe. So they are hitting the ground running full of theater classes. They may have a general education requirement along with that first semester, or they may not. That some of that depends on what they have brought with them, maybe from dual enrollment or testing or IB or I forget all of the things that they can do, but that help them bring some of those general education requirements in. But they are not spending their first 2 years in gen ed requirements, even though we are in a liberal arts setting. So they are hitting the ground running with lots of theater courses.
Great. So you keep using the word Estel. I just want to make sure that everyone out there listening understands what that is. Could you explain that, please?
Yes. So here's my elevator pitch of that. Estel Voice Training is a system of research and teaching that teaches you what's in your voice, what does it do, how do you get it to do what you want repeatably and healthfully, and to be able to do any style that you want. That's my elevator pitch version. So that's the groundwork of our voice program.
It's a school of singing. It's a way to teach singing, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So give us a little bit more of an overview of the 4 years. So what we talked about freshman year, what are the highlights as they continue on through their 4 years?
So throughout their time at UCF, they are auditioning for our department season. All our BFA students have to audition, and they also have to accept their casting. Of course, with caveats, for instance, if the show has a certain kind of content, students are given an information about that and an opt-out. An example, we did Hair a few years back. If you're familiar with Hair, it does have nudity in it. We did do the nudity, but students were, you know, notified ahead of time, am I willing to appear nude? And if they said no, that was all right. They didn't have to, so that they know that, you know, there are lines they don't cross, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. But we certainly want to expand their horizons in terms of the kind of roles that they do. So they have opportunities to perform. They continue their coursework in intensive training, 8 semesters of voice. I'm trying to think through the dance right now. 5 required dance courses, but the option to take more. 6 semesters of acting. And they're also getting other courses like theater careers, which helps them understand how to package themselves better as a business. And that frequently is one that students tell us once they graduate that was one of the most valuable courses for them. And that's actually taught by Jim Helsinger, who happens to be the artistic director of the Orlando Shakes, which is a partnership organization with UCF. So they have all of those things as part of their coursework. They have the opportunity to be involved with multiple student organizations that are doing theatrical work, both from improv to our Project Spotlight, which is a student-run group that puts on a one-act festival every year. They also put on a 10-minute play competition. And they highlight all student-driven work, student-written, student-directed, student-produced, student-acted, student-designed. So that can be a great training grounds for the folks who view this as an entrepreneurial skill and all the different facets that they can develop while they're in school. Yeah, and another unique thing I think that we have is the UCF Celebrates the Arts, which is a two-week festival. It takes place at the Dr. Phillips Performing Arts Center, located in downtown Orlando. And we take over that space for 2 weeks and put on a multitude of different performances from both our music school, our theater school, the School of Visual Art and Design, as well as our game design program, and highlight the work that's being done throughout all those programs. But the one of the most unique parts of that is that we will, about every other festival, put on a production on the Disney stage, which is a Broadway touring house stage. So our students get the chance to be on the kind of stage that they will be on if they choose to pursue a Broadway career or a touring career. And that's great that they have that opportunity as undergraduates to experience that and also work with the house staff there who are union staff at the Dr. Phillips.
Let's chat a little bit more now about those performance opportunities, because being here in Central Florida, I know that UCF has partnerships, as you mentioned, with the Orlando Shakes and Orlando Rep, and I've seen their name attached to lots of things, the theme parks and things like that as well. They assist with career-wise. So if we can chat more about what the performance opportunities are year-round.
Absolutely. So we do have two direct partner organizations that you mentioned, the Orlando Shakes and the Orlando Repertory Theater. Our graduate students are the ones who are involved with those a little more directly, as our third year MFA actors spend a residency year at Orlando Shakes, and our second and third year Theater for Young Audiences grads are working with the Orlando Repertory Theater. But because there are those partnerships available, our undergraduates can benefit from the Orlando Shakes Play Festival. They hold auditions that many of our students get the chance to be in the readings for new works that are in development, and they can do that as part of their undergraduate career. They can also get the opportunity to serve as understudies for some of those productions if they avail themselves of the opportunity to go and audition for that. And it doesn't hurt that then having UCF on their resume when they go to those auditions as professionals, as they're coming out of their undergraduate training, that they see our name and know what kind of quality they're getting because we're connected to them. We are also in the Town of the Mouse, as we lovingly refer to it, as well as other theme parks. So we do have students who work concurrently with their education at all of the theme parks. At Disney, at SeaWorld, at Busch Gardens, at Universal. I didn't want to miss anybody there. And we have a professional advisory board that is made up of professionals in the industry, many from theme parks, but also production companies, the theater companies around this area, that their sole purpose is to help our students while they're in undergraduate with seminars that can help them prepare themselves for profession, and then also open doorways and gateways for them once they graduate. So our professional advisory board members are very vested in doing that and being involved with the students and helping them. We also have a program called Disney Path to Cast that is a more recent program, but it is a program that, similar to what the Professional Advisory Board does, but this is specific to Disney. Professionals from Disney will come to campus and hold seminars that give certain information for our students on how they would then transition to working for Disney. The most established pathway of that is for our stage managers and then our design and tech students secondary. The performer part was coming along. COVID put a little bit of a hitch in that, but we are hoping to reestablish that. We do have alums who work in casting at Disney, and so we have fairly regularly had a representative from Disney Casting come and do audition workshops with our students and view their work as a gateway into some of the students being able to get into those equity performing slots at Disney. So that's something pretty unique because we're right here where all of that hospitality and entertainment lives.
And then what about the in-house productions at UCF? How many a year and... Yeah.
Absolutely. So our production season's anywhere from 6 to 8 shows in a year. Usually two of those are musicals. So we'll do one musical in the fall and one musical in the spring. A balance between a slightly older piece or and a slightly newer piece, but it depends on the season. This season is an example, since we're just coming out of not having, we didn't have any really musical productions last year because of the restrictions on indoor singing. So we picked a small show for the fall. We're doing First Date, which actually opens on October 14th. So we're really close to that opening. And that's just a 7-person cast. But our spring show, because it will be part of the UCF Celebrates the Arts, is going to be on the Dr. Phillips stage, the Disney stage, and that's Shrek. So that should be an extravaganza of many people and a nice big orchestra to go along with them. So that's the typical ratio are 2 musicals, and then the other productions are plays, a mixture of contemporary, heightened language, new work too, because we do have that connection to the Orlando Shakes with pieces coming out of their play lab that sometimes we will then mount one of the early productions of one of those pieces. We also have a summer program called Pegasus Play Lab, where playwrights can submit their pieces for reading productions and then one fully produced production. And we have had at least one musical developed that way too, although they tend to be primarily plays because the rehearsal period is very condensed for those. But that's also a great opportunity for students to get to work on new work and see what the process is like as it changes and unfolds and changes again, and you know, be a part of that development for the playwrights to get to hear their words out loud.
So you're mentioning that you're producing both musicals and plays. So who are auditioning for those? Are those both the actors and the musical theater students auditioning for those that you mentioned, those 7 that you mentioned?
They are. The musical theater and acting BFAs must audition. It's part of their program requirements. The MFA actors must also audition, but they are a small contingent. There would be no more than 12 of them at a time, and that would be the largest. And since there is a full production season, so in the fall, there would be at least 2 plays and 1 musical and another play in rehearsal. There are far more than 12 roles, so that undergrads don't have to worry about graduate students getting all of the prime roles, as it were. We do have accreditation through the National Association of Schools of Theater, and one of the requirements of that is that our BFA students have to be cast before they can graduate, and they have to be cast at least 2 times, and the goal is for at least one of those to be some kind of major role, so a supporting role, a leading role, something that puts some bulk on their resume. So that is also something we're keeping our eye to make sure that our students are being ready to be cast and being cast, so we meet that guideline and get them ready for the industry.
And great segue, talking about getting them ready for the industry. Do you do any sort of senior showcase, either performance or week, or what does that look like?
It's a yes and a no. So let me tell you the no side of it first. While we don't have a showcase in the traditional sense of some other programs, the requirement that UCF has built into their BFA programs is for students to complete a professional internship before they graduate. So they must be hired by a company to do what they do. And we have an internship coordinator who helps them find those opportunities and also processes the paperwork along with it, you know, as well as the faculty helping students prepare for combined auditions like Southeastern Theater Conference or Straw Hats in New York, or if they're getting ready to graduate, UPDAS in Memphis. So the students do need to secure that internship where a company hires them to act for our musical theater majors, or act and teach if they happen to be looking at a pathway that looks at both of those, because we've had some internships where people are doing both, and that will work. So that's kind of the no side of it, but it's still preparing them for the profession. The yes side would be the last voice course that the musical theater majors take over the time that I've been at UCF, because I'm the one who usually teaches that. we use that last voice course to produce a showcase of sorts. So this past spring, it was part of the UCF Celebrates the Arts Festival, and that's the new position that it will live in for the time being. And they put on a concert night, and it showcases all songs from roles they'd like to be seen in professionally within about a 5 to 10 year span of time. And the students select the roles, and then I help them form that showcase. And we do invite industry to come see that. Because of where we're positioned, we have a lot of local industry, both with the theme parks and professional companies, and a lot of agencies here, because Florida is a very lucrative market to live in and work in long term. So we do have agencies even from around the state that have interest and will come to see that. We also were able to live stream it this past year, and so we had agencies and casting directors from New York and LA who watched some of it as well. So we do have connection to those two major hubs. Historically, we've also had a casting director come from New York every year up until the last two pandemic years in person to do a workshop with our students, and then he has served Michael Casera to be a major doorway for them if they move to New York to say, hey, I'm here, and frequently he may help them to get their first job or subsequent jobs.
Right. Great. Do you have any notable alum or faculty that you'd like to mention?
There are lots of students doing incredible things, and we value not only the students who choose to, you know, go to New York and pursue that level. I mean, Khalifa White is going to be opening on Broadway and Caroline or Change. It was supposed to open pre-pandemic, but it is going to open here in October. She's making her Broadway debut this fall. Abby Yaros is out on the Hamilton tour. Again, she'd been out on it previously. So there are folks who are being successful at those levels, but we also have many students who choose to be local educators, and that's a fantastic path forward. There are sometimes students who, you know, go on to law school or, you know, use their training in another way. So we have students at the Heights of New York. We have students out in LA who are, you know, regularly appearing in television and film. David Blue is an alum who, you can look him up on IMDb. He's got credits a mile long of the various things he's done. But all of those are success in our mind. So I know sometimes the students like to look for the shiny, exciting ones, and we do too. But we also value whatever the path that students choose to do with their career. And if that's being a local high school teacher who teaches theater and inspires the next generation, that's also amazing too.
Great. Now, UCF is a ginormous university. What is it, 47,000 students or more?
Well, that's probably just the ones who live on main campus. If you look at, yeah, I know, when you look at total enrollment, and granted they roll the med school and some of the branch campuses into that, but it's actually more around 70,000 now. So it's quite large.
It's a mid-sized city. I mean, that's incredible.
It is. We actually have our own police department. How big it is.
So I want to talk a little bit about student life and sort of what it's like to live over there in East Orlando and you know, what sort of things there are to do around there other than the obvious theme parks and things that Orlando is already known for.
Yes. Campus life can look, you know, how you'd like it to look. There's not a requirement that you live on campus, and but there are on-campus living options, many of which are kind of apartment style within the dorms. But because we are such a large campus, there isn't enough housing for people to all live on campus. So there is a lot of student-only, but separate from the university, housing all around campus, which are apartments. And many of our students will live off-campus but nearby in a very commutable distance. So that's kind of the living option. On, because we are kind of our own city, there's all the activities you could think of that a large campus offers, from various student organizations to Greek life to athletic events to attend. We do have the Bounce House, as it's called on campus, which is the football stadium. And if you've never been in it, it literally does bounce when everybody gets going during a game. Mm-hmm. I think that's where it got the nickname. So there's those exciting typical college life things, but slightly further away because we are on the east side of Orlando. The theme parks are actually kind of on the west side of Orlando, so it is a bit of a drive. People think, oh, I can get there really quickly. I'm like, not with Orlando traffic, you can't. But it is possible not only to go to those for fun, but for students to work there. They just have to be really good at time management and knowing the traffic schedules so that they can handle that commute. But there are lots of, you know, arts organizations in Orlando to enjoy too, from museums to other professional companies to view their work. So a lot of things to do and a lot of unique experiences that I think you sometimes don't get if you're on a smaller campus or not as close to a major metropolitan area.
Yeah, I would say you're probably just about as close to the beach as you are to the theme parks, aren't you? About 45 minutes.
Yes, so I mean, you could easily just drive the other direction and go right over to, I think, Cocoa Beach is the closest, but Daytona Beach isn't far away, and so it's perfectly reasonable to think, this weekend I've done all my work, I don't have rehearsal, I'm going to go hang out on the beach for a little bit, and you can actually do that for a big part of the year here because, you know, we have pretty nice weather.
Yeah. Hopefully that nice weather returns here soon because it's still so hot here. We're recording this, what is it, October 4th? It's 90 degrees today. Come on.
It is, yes.
All right, so let's switch gears now and talk about the audition process for UCF. And let's talk numbers first. My first question, do you pre-screen?
We do pre-screen. We use Get Accepted's online platform to collect our pre-screens.
Great. And about how many pre-screens do you receive every year?
It varies. I would say probably at the high end, maybe around 200. And there are some years where we do see, where we'll go to some, like Florida Theater Conference. We've gone to North Texas Drama auditions in the past, some of those live combined auditions, which would add numbers that could bulk up the numbers to around 300, 400 if it's a year where we attend that too. But usually the folks that we see there, then we tell them, please send your material through the pre-screening so that whoever wasn't in person can see their materials. So it still, you know, has to go through that pre-screen, doorway. So around 200 probably would be the height that actually follow through.
Great. And from those 200, 300 pre-screens, how many live auditions do you then pass through approximately?
The great thing is we don't have a cap on it, so it varies per year. It's been anywhere from 60 people at callbacks to 100 people at callbacks. We just kind of view as if we think they're meeting our minimum requirements for where their skills are at this point in time, we'll bring them for a callback and then see how they do in the callback.
And you mentioned that sometimes you do some of those combined audition things, but you basically do your live auditions on campus only, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So then from those live auditions, what size incoming class do you aim for?
That's a really easy answer. NAST tells us that we can only have 16 people at the most. And that has to do with 16 would be the max that we can take.
Okay. Great. So what qualities do those 16 people have that got them to that point? What are you looking for in a UCF incoming freshman?
A very clear understanding of storytelling. They do need to be able to act both in the spoken word and the sung word. So we are looking for very clear storytellers. I would say dance is lower on our rating scale. Not that having two left feet will completely stop you from getting in the door. We figure we can help you better your skills as a dancer, but being an amazing kick your face backflip dancer is not necessarily going to save you if those singing and acting skills are not developed enough. But I also will say that I really think we look for potential and kind of an excitement coming from the student about what they want to do with this career. So they don't have to necessarily have been training since they were 5 years old. You know, some people don't discover this until they're in high school, and that can be okay. we just want to see, do they have some skills developed already as an actor? Do they have some skills developed as a singer? Is their technique at a solid enough point that we think 4 years from now you'll be able to go out into the profession and make it as a professional performer? Or are there some technical things that we can still help you with in that time to get you to that point? So those are, I think, the overview, but storytelling, I think, is pretty key for us in both the acting and the singing.
I just want to clarify one point that you made. When you said that dance is sort of lower down on the rating scale, you're talking specifically about the auditions. You're not saying that dance doesn't play a major role in the training.
Correct. Yes, right. I'm saying okay. Specifically with the auditions.
But once you're there, you're going to kick their butt in dancing.
Yes.
I wanted to make sure that was clear.
Yes, my colleague Judy has them in ballet class. Sometimes it lands at 8 a.m. or slightly thereafter, and sometimes in the afternoon, depends on the year, but when it's the early morning one, they all come in later, and then they're like, I'm so sore. I'm like...
Good. All right, so... Last question I always ask everyone, what are some things that you're looking forward to in this school year?
Certainly the return of musicals on our stages. We really missed that last year, with really the exception of what the seniors did at their showcase outdoors last year. We didn't really get to sing much last year, so we're really excited about that. Because I get to spend so much time with the freshmen, and then depending on how the classes go out, I may not see them regularly again until they're seniors, because they don't necessarily stay with me as their voice teacher their whole time. We actually trade back and forth between teachers, which is pretty unique. So sometimes I, you know, haven't seen much of them except in productions in the in-between years. So to see that development, and it's really been exciting for me both to watch the excitement and how the freshmen are grabbing onto the new information they're getting in my class, but then to see some of the seniors, who I have a cast that's almost all seniors in First Date, and how they've developed and what competent and amazing artists they are as they chameleon into the different roles, has been really, really exciting, and I think really for all my colleagues to see that. We just are so thrilled that even with the change that we went through the last, you know, year and a half with COVID and a lot of things being online, that they have still grown and developed and are these budding artists who are so excited to go into the new version of our industry. So I think that's been very exciting and something that we've been enjoying and continuing to look forward to, because the year's only, you know, a third done.
Right. So Tara, if somebody has more questions about UCF, what's the best way to get in touch?
Best way to get in touch is certainly you can email myself or my colleague Earl Weaver, who's our coordinator of musical theater. Both of our emails are available on the School of Performing Arts UCF website. You certainly can, if you've got questions that are not theater related but more directly related, please contact our admissions office or our financial aid office if it's something along their specialties. But we're happy to answer direct emails from any of you that might want to know more.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sitting down and chatting with us about UCF's BFA Musical Theater Program today. And we will look forward to chatting with you sometime very soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Tara. For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.